Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the 12 sectors. The 12 sectors unified under the queen of all that is keen. She wears a scarlet dress and she dances at midnight. She whispers into the ears of sailors and tells them to go down. Good morning to the king of tomorrow. Good morning to the lord of yesterday. Good morning to your friends in Frisco. It is October the 31st, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc, and this is your good friend Dan on the Olympic Peninsula, just after 4 a.m., baby, on Halloween. Happy Halloween, motherfucker. Happy Halloween, shithead. Indeed. This is the continuing saga, the continuing release, full release with happy ending of my Banifesto, Danifesto, Manifesto. That's right. If I get removed, silence, what do the kids call it? If I get canceled from all social media, we'll call it my Banifesto. But it's definitely a Danifesto, Bo Blimp Doc, towards a new lurching. We will lurch down the road. We will lurch over toads. We will lurch towards the sea. We will lurch you and me. But something special today is a special treat. Because I'm not just going to do one chapter, I'm going to do three chapters. Chapter 6, Chapter 7, and Chapter 8. And that's because you're special, and I love you. That's right, how do we greet each other as Grinkin' men and woe man? Good morning. Fuck you. I love you. Good morning. Fuck you. I love you. Chapter 6, Sexual Style, Love Science, and Managing Your Lust Dragons. The lust dragon tricks you into parking lot hookups and dried McDonald's French fry yeast infections. It suckers you with, "Why haven't you called me?" or "Is this a game to you?" But that beast is not to be messed with. She's a scrumbo. Abandon her to coyotes. Tame the lust dragon. Be pure flesh wrapped together, Grinkin man and woe man. Your sphincter refarction confuses the heartwad. Underpinning your fear is a bear typhoon from Cygnus Sector near Happy Valley 3. We could build this furnace paradise together, we really could, but toxins enter our love-wrapped purity, and the man keeps us apart. We flee from the Skyhawk Shaman and never again take our place at the table of forgotten farewells and dismal hellos. This is a scientifically accurate view of a woman's mind, a kitten drinking coffee. A woman is a map jockey. She picks at you and your clothes and your car. She picks at you while you're driving and the dirty dishes in the sink. A woman cannot be pleased. She is frigid and disinterested. Even if you give her your credit card, she is listless and languid and lost in her own self-loathing. A woman spends years in therapy, never finding escape from her own emotional puzzles. Her mission is to bring down your energy levels and to trample your dream flame. It's a game to these females. While you drink ale and hang with your bros, they act like hoes and can't stop needling, frustrated and broke. You're the bloke she dropped when the job was lost and all you had left was money for mac and cheese. The woe man, on the other hand, is able to escape this perch and lands right on the high country fresh meat living. You can find her checking out 9mm prices at Walmart on a Friday night because she's going shooting the next day and nothing will stand in her way. You can't see that, but you can smell it. Seek the woe man, grinkin' man, or die tryin'. Section 1, Boovula Madness. The grinkin' man locates a woe man's power center. He can smell it from 2,000 miles away. He spends at least 14 weeks a year hiking through the forest and fasting on wheatgrass soda and dried out lemon rinds. When he has attained a massive level of spirit pop, he can gallop towards his goal, but he must be careful. A madness sets in when the change warden comes by to see, and you are still sitting at the diner finishing off your flapjacks and bacon. Curly Jones sees you at the booth, and then the both of you do a line of coke and talk about Magic Trixie and her heart rockets and her scab pudding. If you can rid your mind of putrefied ideas, then send a love poem to Kendra. Kendra's eyesight has returned after the surgery last month, and both of those growths were removed. She's taken a break from the rough life and the strip clubs. She's cozying up to homestyle crack and jokes about sores on her back. Take her for a spin, if you can find that flow. And then you'll know the depth and breadth of summertime twirl and counterfeit Mexican sundaes. Section 2, ungundulating her. Once you've strapped the woe man to your pickup truck, then you can take her to the cabin. There are many ways of snaring that girl's honey drip magic. You can put on some slow music and talk about Austrian economics and gun control. Make sure to mention you have an off-grid palace. An off-grid palace not far from Tierra del Fuego. And that's where your Winnebago method takes off and her underwear gets wet. I'm going to drink some sacred coffee. Make a grobe paste of her tester water and mungit grime. Boil that slime for 23 hours. Add in some dried flowers and chestnuts. After about a day, take the moist residue and rub it into her Valley Snatch Highway. Charry pizza and New England chili spill on the floor because her stomach is aching and the macro cake from Aldi's is bad and broken. You should have spoken before she moaned, and then the vapor escapes from her butt clinch hideaway. Section 3. Separate the fester. As the woe man achieves orgasmic totality, you will find your own lust eclipsed by her brave booby-style jug sensations. She bites her lip and writhes as her voluptuous body ungleaves itself upon the sheets. Her eyes, watery and without regret, lock with yours and you can tell she's getting set for that hot rod game. It'll never be the same. After she grabs your sleek tube and covers it in lube and puts it in her purse for safekeeping, it gets hot and the naughty path is apparent. The woe man is ripe with sacred oils and musk, and the smell fills up the room. You feel man-powerful, as the grinkin' man does, standing above your woman, getting ready for the final act. Section 4, the Barbarino. Don't take this the wrong way, but you don't know anything about love spice. John Travolta summoned Harlequin insight when he took on the role of Jurgen soldier and Keffler elf. John laid out the process for all, the means by which conception is achieved. Step 1, ask your woe man out to dinner at a nice French restaurant. Step 2, after you sit down at the table, have some wine. Red wine is best. Step 3, summon the milk spirit from her jugs and pass the goblet for a fill. Step 4, your woe man fills the glass with her cream and it's all aboard for Love Town once you gulp it all down. Step 5, extend the man tool to maximum length under the table And if she's able, your well man will remove her underwear. Step 6. With fully extended rod, prod and prod, till you find safe passage to the happy zone of wet wonder. Step 7. Completely explode your load in her banquet hall. And let the freaks next to you gasp as their shock grows to disbelief. And relief. Once the well man's pleasure noises are silenced. Within 6 to 9 months, a bunctus baby, your very own, will pop out of the well man, screaming and angry, carrying knives. That baby will be packing heat as he skeets his way out of the great chasm and onto the world stage. You'll be proud because his crying will be loud and his restless wonder will be met with out compromise or concern. The Barbarino unleashes pure Grinkin' Man spunk lightning. Never before have humans had this capability, this new course, and the world will shake as you bake your bread in her oven. What do? There are 8 sacred pieces of a woe man's love orchestra. Piece number 1 is called Finger Sausage. This is the placing of your twitching and dirty paws in her awe-inspiring hooba cave, the rave you'll get after spitting on her tuvis and rubbing the eel rack with split your skull. No more time for slowing down or taking pulls. The second piece of sacred love orchestra is Throat Candy. Find the Oreo blaster and mix this with kennel strewn garbage. Steep this mix with bisque and toffee that's been roasted on the heater. It will be sweeter if you can find nitro fizz and juke sand. The third piece is called boob twisting. Grab her boobs one at a time and rotate them 30 to 45 degrees clockwise, and then counterclockwise. Do this as you pound it, and make sure that her lips pucker when the sucker hits the ground and the sound garden plays. The fourth piece is called butt massage. Make a fist of your right hand while holding down a woe man's buttocks with your left. Grind your fist into her ass, tenderizing her love muscles and allowing her doom flan to rinse out and the rest of the anal grease to dissipate on the bed sheets. You haven't changed in 3 years. You haven't changed those bed sheets at all. The fifth piece is tummy tickling. Move your fingers across her trembling belly, making hash marks. She will groan and gripe, but the smile reveals the movie butter magic happening between her legs. The sixth piece, ear pulse. Stick your more sacred coffee right. The sixth piece, ear pulse. Stick your wet, nasty, willy tobacco chew tongue in her ear. Hum and chant sounds right into her ear. Whisper about jelly thrones and cast out monkey dildos. The seventh piece is called anal sprunkto. Find a medium-sized zucchini. Cover the zucchini in peanut oil and frosted flakes. After leaving the thing to get nasty in the hot sun, wrap it in old silk and burlap and shove it up the woe man's asshole. Do this before you begin the Barbarino. The eighth piece is critical final escape. This is you running from the police because your woe man reports you to the fucking authorities. Oh, fuck. You will jump out the window and land on the bushes below. Then jet to your car, hoping you have the keys and you don't. After several minutes of trying to escape through the nearby swamp, you happen upon a beautiful raven brunette and stacked, wearing skimpy shorts and a bikini top. At this point, you see the truth, and your love meaning is sealed by the juice wench. There is much more to stallion-type lovemaking than I could possibly go into, but this is as much as you can handle right now, Grinkin' Man and Well Man. Chapter 7, The Battle of Bunkton. Very soon, the ground will shake. At the appointed time, the world will howl like a tiger. Our Liger limitations do not worry. In a hurry, we will break through the overcast skies and find a warm place in the sun to die. On February 12, 2020, maybe 22X, a young woman named Birdie Bess will make her way to Walmart to buy 4 cases of 9mm ammo and 10 boxes of 12-gauge buckshot. There's a virus alert on the TV, and the Mega Man Sam is selling his pitch to every Karen bitch. Lock yourself down, toss your children in the storm drain, eat your protein slurry, shut the fuck up, slave. But Birdie will have none of this hokum. "Where's your mask?" slurred the Walmart greeter, his hand shaking from carbon monoxide poisoning and fiberglass damage to his lungs from the necessary mask. "Where's your mask, lady?" "I don't need that," answered Birdie. But she could see the fat commie Slovich. The Slovich type was going to get his manager and the security guards. She was cornered on all sides, inching closer. They would grab her and take her to the back office and teach her a lesson in what's up. But Birdie could sense this. She used to date football players. More sacred coffee. The Berulian freak, the nasty security guard, grabbed Birdie by the arm and squeezed. He pinched her arm down to the bone, and Birdie screamed. Birdie pushed away from these cavemen and pulled out a .357 Magnum. I think it was like a Ruger Red Hawk. She cocked the gun and asked the men to step back, so they did. But a nearby Karen called 911 on her smart device, and soon the building was surrounded by cops and sheriffs and other assorted pedophiles and wife beaters. Birdie wasn't alone, though. There was that guy looking for two-story... There was that... more sacred coffee. There was that guy looking for two-stroke oil, not wearing a mask. There was the old lady in the wheelchair, packing a hidden Glock 19 with 30-round magazine. She wasn't wearing a mask. There were the Clumpton brothers, trying to pick up MILFs in the frozen food aisle. They also didn't give a fuck about masks. There were others. Birdie didn't even know them yet. But she would briefly. Donald Trump, who'd been on the run from J.D. Vance for 2 weeks, drove his Tesla Cybertruck through the plate glass windows. Everyone was stunned. Trump, who'd been living in the caves and in the sewers, arrived like dark lightning from our broken collective unconscious. Birdie didn't vote. She didn't care to. But she knew the orange demon, what J.D. called Trump. You see, J.D. Vance took power shortly after arriving in Washington, D.C. The whole swamp cadre of Zionist fringe bots and other hooker henchmen joined forces with Mr. Question Mark, you know, the name for J.D. That's what people call them. J.D. took up with Kamala, Klamala, and other clam fiber cultists. He moved into a condo at the Eccles building and henceforth called it the Blight House. He and Powell shared jizz magnets and gutter tiramisu. If you know, you know. "Mr. President, where'd you come from?" Birdie asked. "I'm out there and it's huge, J.D. What a twerp. He murdered melanoma and left me to die by the Lincoln Memorial. what you doing here? I was summoned by the coyote spirit. More cops gathered outside the Walmart, and now the Karen squad was demanding Governor Biblis bring out the National Guard. Soon, even the Vatican was sending its hooker angels, dressed by old drunk Jesuits and Franciscans, with the power to confuse and dominate, utilizing their jumblies. Birdie hugged Trump. She felt his quibus sweat and smelled his dingy muck soul. She knew the guy was burnt out and filled with cat urine, but she sensed that Donald wanted redemption, and something about February 12th would bring it forth. No one knows who fired the first shot. Some say it was Callie Jorman, a deputy sheriff high on cocaine. Others believed it was Karen Sutherland, or Karen Green, or Karen Moskowitz. They just knew some fucking Karen pulled the trigger. The shot rang out, and everyone was stunned. Birdie grabbed her stomach, and Trump could see she was bleeding. He held on to her as her legs gave out and she crumpled to the floor. It felt like hours, but Birdie was gone in a few moments. Trump held her and caressed her hair as her monkey spirit left her body for the great beyond. Trump stood up angrily. A sense of portent and overwhelming heaviness was felt by all. "Take cover! Return fire! Ain't nothing left to do but die," screamed Trump. Bullets began flying there at the Buncton Township Walmart. Nobody knew much about Buncton before that day. Just a sleepy little town in who knows where the fuck's heartland America. The firefight only lasted an hour, but by the time it was over, the Walmart was on fire and covered in blood, and reinforcements from the swamp rats and gombo freaks of Sector 998, that's Louisiana, were showing up, riding hippos, carrying shivs. Already, the 4th Vatican Division of Swamp Whores had invaded Mississippi, and there were rumors of Grongo forces under the command of former President Barack Obama. Battle lines were being drawn, but no one could read a map. "Get that missile launcher back on the road," yelled Colonel Clam, the busty vixen leader of the Boob Rangers and other chicks that ride tigers. She'd been recruited by the Vatican when she was a young nun, and now her time to shine for the Pope had come. "Get that fucking launcher out of the swamp," she hastened her chick squad as these voluptuous devil dogs rubbed grizzly wax on their vaginas. Within a few days, the Vatican had taken control of New Jersey, New York City, and Boston. They had shock armies roaming Florida and several mutant Sasquatch chasing women in bikinis in Georgia. Hoobie gangs of 30-something CrossFit freaks began forming their own Klungit clans, chasing tail and looking for easygoing Sunday morning sex parties. Trump, upon achieving total victory at the Buncton Walmart, joined forces with the brave and sexy Sheila gangs of Quadrant 2. These were the castasides, the throwaways, the deplorables, the garbage. They kept their souls in check and their conscience intact by remembering the wet springtime events of their lost urban youth. They came from the slums, from downtown, from the gritty city chum lots where old men look for young bodies to buy. Trump could tell they were hot and hangry and heavy with foolish heart songs. "You with us, Papa Blump?" Queen Irene asked. Trump smiled and shook his head. "Girl, I've been with you since the first time we met at Mar-a-Lago so many halcyon years ago." Together, Trump thought, nothing could stop them. Papa Blump and Queen Irene, like the scene from the Scottish play, one day their fire children would rule the five worlds. But a darkness sets in. It turned out that J.D. Vance had cloned Trump using dried jizz from that one time they experimented. A horror, dark Trump or drump, was out there chasing down the young and old, feeding them to the great crusher, mixing mite love with angel worm sadness. The battles grew harder as Papa Blump and Drump waged war, and J.D. Vance watched over this from his sky castle, a vacuum ship dirigible floating 30 miles above the surface of the earth. Drump, on orders from J.D. Vance, launched an invasion of Thailand and began injecting men and dogs and cats with a mind-control virus. The virus made everyone exposed, susceptible to J.D. Vance's mind rays. And even the gays admitted, when they spitted, that this was greasier than El Paso, Texas. For occupied Georgia, life was cruel. Women were rounded up by various Bigfoot and Sasquatch gangs. The Yeti now ruled the domain surrounding Atlanta, and the swamps were being turned into all-female prison zones. And the women, wearing only bikinis, were marched there. Those that couldn't make it were tossed to the gators. After defeating the 14th Loon Division under the command of Karen Stevens, Papa Blump moved on to Florida. He and Queen Irene organized the Boogaloos and the Collapsitarians and the Seventh-day Adventists into strike teams, and Blump demanded everyone wear Hawaiian shirts. It was looking like the good guys might win, that the memory of poor Birdie would not be forgotten. Blump carried one of her fingers in his pocket to remind him of her and the bravery she showed at Buncton Walmart on 212. One night, after a long day's battle, Bump Blump screamed out to the cadre and the dog soldiers sleeping on the beaches near Tampa, "We shall never forget Birdie. We won't forget Buncton Day." The mythology of Buncton Day was spreading like wildfire. Even the French were getting annoyed. Of course, there were Vatican spies everywhere, and Blump knew it. He even had to take a few on one of his fishing trips, and many a wayfish and virginal nun went to her death being eaten by tiger sharks. Terrible. So sad, so terrible war. But it wasn't all pain, this second American Civil War. Blump and Queen Irene spent several turbulent nights, sultry and salted, near the seashore, making clam chowder. "Oh, baby, I never felt a man like you," said Irene. "Honey, bunches of oats, I can't live without you, and I won't. If you leave me, I'll kill you." This is what Trump said to Irene. It made her smile. J.D. Vance sent the U.S. Navy SEAL team X-ray after Blump, but he was a few steps ahead, domesticating and training tiger sharks as battle sharks. And even some of the Vatican's angels, they switched sides and joined Blump. Having gotten really sick of all the Karens and the Pope, they had to work with him. They had to work with Blump now. Things were looking up for the Second Confederacy, and that's what Blump and Irene called it. "This time we'll get it right, baby," Irene whispered into Blump's ear as he rode that shark into history. Meanwhile, Drump, under orders from J.D. Vance, seized Antarctica and the safe zone. For years, the rich and powerful had been setting up a safe zone in Antarctica capable of housing nearly 3 million people. Blump knew about this place, but his forces were stretched too thin, so he asked Queen Irene if she could send her Foxy, Foxtrot Squad 11, riding polar bears down there to the South Pole. Sit on that pole, baby. Within a few weeks, Drump's forces and Irene's clashed, and at the Stoogie Pass, the brave women of Irene's forces defeated the robots and Clamilla's genital crab posse. It was a near thing, because Drump had an ally in the South, Barack Obama. Obama sent his Sklag warrior priestesses armed with drag pistols and wearing sports bras. After many skirmishes, these Sklags were laid to rest near McMurdo Base. The tide was turning, and it looked as if Blump and Irene's victory would be assured. But then Drump sent an army of neocon lobbyists riding giant mutant Frenchies into the Gamma Zone, that's Las Vegas. Blump tried to shift forces, but J.D. Vance had sent his image as a dark satanic power orb energy in the form of a Godzilla-sized cat with glowing eyes. Some compared the battles around Vegas with the dust storms and limited vision to the Battle of the Wilderness in 1864. But they were all hooked on meth and had bleeding gums, and nobody of stature listened to them. The Second Civil War lasted nearly 3 years, and over 200 billion people died. The battle spanned continents, and Blump got to spread his seed. Irene was none too happy about his oafish ways, but Blump had fire spice in his loins and a groin encased in dried blood and sores. Papa Blump. At one point in the second year of the war, Blump and Irene split up, and Blump began organizing carny folk as a second and third tier juke force. Their skeevy ways and cigarette burns and cotton candy affect took the stage, and with vile gutter rage they broke through the lines of St. Louis. And the battle nuns that switched sides, those battle nuns that left the Vatican by the wayside and followed Blump, they led assaults to retake Oregon and Washington State. They even invaded Canada, that was then being ravaged by a killer outbreak of giant genital crabs, and the battle nuns captured Vancouver Island and most of British Columbia for the Sci-Fi Channel. So they would be able to shoot those outdoor TV sci-fi scenes there for free in perpetuity. That means forever, fucko. As the Second Civil War wound down, Blump began flying space patrols near Venus and Mars and the Moon. Queen Irene and he established a moon base Alpha and put Colonel Koenig in charge of the fission waste dumps there. That'll turn out good. Great honors were bestowed upon Blump, his victories numerous, his armies brave and true. He had so many consorts, Asians, black women, Irene, and some Mexicans. So many beautiful and fertile women were offered up to him in tribute. His seed spread, and like Genghis Khan, many a child would be born in the future with his stain upon them. End. It's hard to believe that one young woman, Birdie, and her brave death at the Buncton Walmart started it all. Through the echoes of time, it will be said, upon Buncton Day we stand, as Birdie once did, in her cut-off jorts and her Xavier-type Bluton rifle, said Blump on Buncton Day, 212-22X. So go out there, Grinkin' man, find yourself a Grinkin' woe man like Birdie. Hustle and bustle your way, stroking your steam pipe, and fill her caverns with chowder gravy and Old Navy lovin'. Give her a Bunctus baby upon Buncton Day. Fill her with your white gravy, and when the baby is born and it's a girl, name her Birdie. Chapter 8. Mind fire, superpowers, and easy payment plans. When the student arrives, the master is ready with power sauce mysteries. The Sclovis lived long ago and shared their spider-style reasoning with the scorpion and the owl. As time turned to yellow haze, the Fred Mays types left California and moved to Toledo and Denmark. This diaspora of pretty things, covered in L.A. bling, was the result of the great Gumpton Plague of 4456 B.C. Oh, how many screamed as the cream pie getaways turned to open-ended love canoes. The earth was once covered in love canoes, geologic features that pressed hard against the wooden spirit of that ancient world. Love canoes shot jets of pure light, pure white love, like fountains of cream, like an uncorked champagne bottle stretching to the stars. These love canoes went away as the struggling villagers climbed out of the hole, smoked a bowl, and began constructing cities and other types of sewers. But we remember, we keep the barges nearby and prepare for the day of loading. In the time before time, klezmer forces forged the soul magic using rune stones and sacred mushrooms and old hag pizza. After the reluctant nuns converted to hollandaise sauce hookers, vibrant dance rituals were used to summon Lord Gusto of the 3rd Baltic Stud Army. Invariably, these disgraceful types sullied the ranks and left dishonor and calumny in their wake, and so began a great age of darkness till now. If you made it this far, then of course you're ready, buddy. Do you have 50 bucks, an old truck, a sucker in a box, or a fox? Can you get a HELOC done soon? That means on your home, and send me money. We'll meet at midnight along Highway 101. Not far from Big Sur, California, our organization has a spiritual training center. At this place of refuge, the mentally capable can learn new tricks from Master Bix. You will spend several months or years there, or until you run out of money. But don't think this is funny, because many authorized churches do this. Check out the 501c3 registry, my friend, my mendicant, and destroy your fear goblin with relevant facts and a beach body exercise plan. Our core program has 9 core skills to be attained. Skill 1 is mind fire. Mind fire training begins with walking on coals, but not just any coals, okay? Not just regular wooden coals. Hot, burning, fueled by forges, glowing red stones and chunks of glowing steel. Your feet will heal eventually in our private clinic, and then you'll try again. You have the discipline of mind fire when you can shove a glowing red-hot carpenter's nail through your foot. You have attained scarlet mastery when you can insert a glowing coal into your own rectum. Your mind fire is the sable guard tulip that steps out of the shadows. It's the burning strength that keeps you going. To attain mind fire means to hold counsel with ravens and to get drunk and dance naked at 2 a.m., clam swallows will watch over you, and your life will spark an avalanche of misery and scorn. You are born the moment you disconnect from your family and friends, unless you need money, and then invite them to family day at the Big Sur compound. Typically, this process takes 1 to 2 months, but some have gotten there faster. Our monkey blaster sweetheart deals are a steal, and you can have all this mind fire for $49,999.99. The second ability you could attain is called Dragon's Breath, also known as halitosis. This might be the most powerful superpower you will learn. And learn to hate. It's great because old Susie Squat Face is stalking you, and with this new skill, one breath will turn her away. You will breeze through your day with your boss leaving you alone, and on the phone you'll carve out cube steak and make merry before the demon mistresses. There is no time left for frolicking, and the smell of that dread putrescence will cast charm curses upon code pink witches and the curly bat SPLC drogue fairies. This process takes 2 weeks and requires a specialized diet and chunking of food. You have to consume herring dust and muskrat jerky. You'll smoke cigarettes and drink coffee and trip your physiology into GERD, where the true capabilities lay. you'll make your mouth a colony to parasites and bacteria and mold. During those cold months when the ordinary street tramps are looking for a happy night Charlie, your protective spell will raise hell, and the prancing biscuit wenches of the Upper East Side will want to take a ride. But your ski lift is closed for repairs, buddy. Your ski lift is closed for repairs. The price of this power is between $10,000 and $30,000. But believe me, it's worth every penny, motherfucker. The third power you will attain is called time jumping. Have you ever wanted to go back in time and kill Hitler? Have you ever wanted to be Hitler in that figurative sense? Do you have pent-up rage or disappointment about events in your life that you can't let go of? At our institute, we teach a variety of skills and techniques for harnessing Chronos and making time itself your own personal spittoon, adorned with golden festoons and garnishes of potato. Carl Dorning, the son of a famous Nazi paperclip scientist, he attended our 8-weekend lab. At first, he was skeptical. Then, after a few weekends, he began drifting backwards in time. Soon he could hop to Roman times and fight bears in the Colosseum. He rode with bandits and sailed the oceans. Carl made a name for himself fighting the commies on the Eastern Front. Might you achieve the skills of Carl? Maybe, perhaps, but only after you've exhausted your savings and been driven raving mad. Don't be sad. It's all on sale for $4,000 a weekend. The fourth power you could attain, if you still have cash left, is Barstool ESP. We've discussed the woe man and her importance to our cause, but have you considered how difficult it is to date these days? Dating sucks beyond imagination, especially if you're divorced and over 40 years old. But with BESP, or Barstool ESP, you'll be able to cut through the bullshit and plant thoughts in some random woman's head. You can take her to bed, breeding and seeding, and 9 months later a bunctus baby is born in your shed. It's not super easy, but not impossible. You'll learn how to properly gaze at a woman, how to stare, how to get noticed. We will teach you the 4 magic handshakes and the easiest way to slip drugs into a drink. You might think this is crooked, but book yourself a flight and stay the night. Learn from us and stop going home alone. Your Joan of Arc is waiting somewhere down the street at a local bar and grill if you can take that pill. Prices are inconsequential and insubstantial when it comes to true love, of course. So be a brave daddy and take this course for a spin. It's not 2 weeks. It's just 2 weeks with a break. And we'll even throw in a steak. All this you get for a surprising $25,000. What a deal, bro. The fifth power you could achieve is freeze ray. Everyone dreams of freezing the world. On some hot summer day in South Texas with the Mexican landlords handing out coffee shake, you want to stop the baking, but there's no way out. There's no way out. There's just no way out. Don't pout. At our Big Sur Institute, we'll teach you how to slow down molecules and force electrons to release quanta of energy. On your first day, you'll learn how to cool your cup of coffee by 10 degrees in under 3 minutes. Amazing. There are great dangers in this power, and it is not for the faint of heart. Camel riders from Africa have understood the treachery of ice demons and the curious fate of squirrel nugget hoarders when the borders of your subconscious become engorged by the mistrials of Lord Thule. At the peak levels of capability, you'll be able to force clouds to snow and cause women's nipples to become erect. Don't deflect, young man. Your can of joy awaits on your first date if you have the ability to project freeze rays. 1 weekend a month for 7 years. The total, on average, is $2.3 million, but it's worth it. The sixth power you can attain is titanium fists. Do you get belligerent when you get drunk? Do you start a lot of fights? Are you a weakling who is bullied and have reached your breaking point? Our 8-day super package costing only $77,999 and $88 will have you winning even against professional boxers and UFC dudes. With this skill, you can kill with your hands. The sands of ages watch over you as you punch your way to victory. Your hands will glow red hot, and the smell of long pig slashing will cover your leather jacket. This is no racket to be imbued with the thrill power and body rot. We may have to inject you with a new form of herpes, and you might get cancer. But that's cheap, buddy, if it keeps the mean guys away, okay? So send us payments in gold and silver and diamonds and cocaine. The seventh power you could attain if you haven't run out of money yet is yada yada yada. You'll be able to melt cheese with your eyes. That's $2,200 a day for 10 days. The eighth power is walking through walls. I don't give a fuck. Just fucking pay me. The ninth power is your ability. And I gotta drink more sacred coffee. But the ninth power will be your ability to remote view people on the toilet. It's cool. Sometimes they are having sex. Most often, they're talking on their phones at work. Fuck you. Pay me. Fuck you. Pay me. Fuck you. Pay me. Your fear monster is why you are trapped. Like the old Skokie mills where the immigrants were killed to add carbon to the steel, you'll be ground up into bean meal and toaster oven chieftains will each have a bite. Tell me you don't have money, steal it. Tell me you don't have time, fuck off. Tell me you think this is a sham, and now I mean really, really, really fuck off. Good morning. Fuck you. I love you.